We're holding on Tess Zion on the bays. Six lines from the bottom. In the Mishnah, we talked about a case where a person becomes a nazir while he's in a cemetery. And we said that the days that he's there don't count towards his nazirus, only if he went out of there and he doesn't bring a korban tumah. If he went out of there and became tahor and then went back in, then those count as regular days of nazirus, and he brings a korban tumah for going back in there. So now we started with a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. When this person does that, when he's in the Beis HaKvaris and makes a neder of nazirus, is the nazirus chal at all? Rabbi Yochanan had said that it is in two senses. Number one, that he's getting malchus for violating any of the dinim of a nazir. And number two, that when he goes out of there, he's not going to actually have to re-declare anything automatically. His nazirus will actually, the count of his nazirus, well, once he becomes tahor, rather, then his nazirus will automatically start. Rish Lakish had said that no, the nazirus is not yet chal in the sense that if he violates any of the mitzvahs of a nazir, he's not getting malchus yet. And even when he goes out of there, he's not automatically a nazir. He still has to make some kind of statement to say that he's going to keep the nazirus that he pledged in there. So he would have to say something like, he's going to say something along the lines of, the nazirus that I accepted in there, now I'm actually going to start doing it, or something to that effect. So we had something that Rabbi Yochanan asking something on Rish Lakish from our Mishnah, and Rish Lakish deflected it and said, when our Mishnah says he doesn't bring a korban, he doesn't bring a korban tumah, doesn't mean that in fact he is a nazir. It just means the whole concept of a korban tumah is not relevant to him because he's not yet a nazir. So the Gemara continues. So Rabbi Yochanan continues asking on Rish Lakish Eisvei. So he asks him from a Braisa, if a person was Tomei and he became a Nazir, and by the way, you know, when we said in the Mishnah a case where a person became a Nazir in a Beis HaKvaris, it doesn't literally have to mean that he was actually standing in a Beis HaKvaris. It could mean by the same token that he was Tomei Mess and he made the Nazirus. Either way, the point is he's going to have to become Tahar, but he's going to have to become Tahar before the actual Nazirus starts. So the Braisa says, if a person was Tomei and declared a neder of Nazirus, also a galeach v'lishtes yayin l'tam l'mesim, so he's not allowed to shave or drink wine or become Tomei mes, v'im gilach v'shos yayin v'nitam l'mesim, if he does any of the above, hareza soifigas al-boyim, then he absorbs 40, which means that he gets malchus. So Rabbi Yochanan says, i'amit b'shleima chayla, if you say that in fact the nazirus is chal on him, then it becomes very easy to understand why he gets malchus, because after all, he's a nazir. So our Mishnah was saying he doesn't bring a korban tumah because he's already tomei, and because there's a gzeiros hakasu that he, as we're going to discuss later in the sugya, that only if he was tahor and became tomei is he bringing the korban tumah. Fine, but other than that, we're saying he still gets malchus. So it's easy to understand that on the basis of if we say that he's actually a nazir. Eli amet loy chayla, but if you, the Shlokish, are saying that the nazirus that he took on over there in a Beis HaKvaris, so while he's tomei, is not even chal at all, then why is he getting malchus? According to you, he's not yet a nazir. He's not yet a nazir until he becomes tahor and actually redeclares and says, I'll be a nazir after all. So the Gemara answers, or Shlokish answers, Hochab Mayaskin and Beyotzeb and Nichnas. You know what you're talking about over here? When he went out of the cemetery and he became Tahar, and then later on he went back in. So therefore, in other words, and in between, he had was sprinkled the paradrumal water and he reaccepted the Nazirus. So then in that case, so that's the Braisa saying that he's Chayab. Now, in that case, what's the Chiddush? Of course, then any nazir is subject to those things. The point is, Tosfos says two possibilities. One is the Braisa is telling us that he doesn't actually have to say after he goes out of there, I will be a nazir. Even, and he had said the original declaration of nazirus in the cemetery or while he was tamei. Now the point is, he doesn't have to actually say a whole new declaration of it. All he has to say is that the nizirus that I took previously should be chal on me. And that's enough for him to be a nazir. That's one explanation in Tosfos. The second explanation is that it means that as soon as he becomes Tahor, he's obligated to accept that Nizirus on himself, to say that that Nizirus should be chal on me. And if not, then he'll be over on Bal Ta'acher. He'll be over on the fact that the Torah says to keep your promises as soon as possible. And he needs to accomplish that by actually taking on his Nizirus and starting it. But still, Rish Lakish can say that that's what the Braisa is talking about. And therefore, therefore the Braisa is not necessarily addressing the case when what happens when he's still Tomei, whether he's Chayav Malkus for these things, maybe not necessarily. The Mefarish printed instead of Rashi brings a different chiddush from according to Rish Lakish's understanding of the Braisa. We said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Eliezer had said that a person doesn't bring a korban tumah even in the case where his nazirus was to begin with when he was tahor. Rabbi Eliezer says he doesn't bring a korban tumah unless he becomes tomei at least on the second day or later of his nazirus. If he becomes tomei on the actual day of his nazirus, so on the day that he became tahor, then Rabbi Eliezer says he wouldn't bring a korban tumah because the pasuk says there have to be days that fall away, and here there's only one day. So then the Mefarish says that the chiddush is that Now the way we have it printed in front of us in the Mefarish is that the Braisa is telling us not like Rabbi Eliezer, Achronim, the Birkas Rosh, changes the girsa and says what Rashi meant to what the Mefarish meant to say is that actually he's not. The point is the Braisa is saying he's not bringing a korban tumah, which agrees with Rabbi Eliezer, because here he became tomei on the very same day that the nichnas he went back into the cemetery and became tomei on the very day that he had finished his tara, and therefore according to Rabbi Eliezer he's not bringing a korban yet. So that would be another chiddush of the Braisa. The Gemara continues, Eisvei. So now Rabbi Yochanan has another question on Rish Lakish. Another Braisa says, there's no difference between a person who was Tomei and declared a neder of Nazirus while he was Tomei, Lenozer Toher Shenitma, versus a Nozer Toher who became Tomei sometime during his Nazirus. The difference between them is Ela Tomei Shenozar Shvi Shalai Olala the Minyan. When it comes to a person who was Tomei, so either way, both of them need to be sprinkled with Parah Adruma water, and for both of them, the process of becoming Tahor takes 7 days. But the difference is, if he was Tomei when he made the Nazirus, Shvi Shalai Olala the Minyan, the seventh day of his Tara will also count as the first day of his Nazirus. The same way as you could have in general that a person can take on Nazirus anytime during the day, and that as long as he took it on before Shkia, then that counts as the first day of his Nazirus, like we learned before. The same way, in this case, the person was sprinkled, the person who became Tamei Mes has to be sprinkled twice with Parah Adruma water on the third day and on the seventh day. Once he goes on the seventh day, then after that, he needs Tevila and he needs Head of Shemesh. So once he was sprinkled the second time on the seventh day and toveled, then on that same day is the first day of his Nazirus. Because the point is, Tosfos says he doesn't have to be bringing a korban, as we said. So therefore, there's nothing else preventing his Nazirus from starting. You could say he's a tevul yoim, but fine, a tevul yoim is not a strong enough kind of tumah to prevent his Nazirus from starting. So in the case of a Tomei Shenozar, then already the seventh day when he got sprinkled, then already that counts as the first day of his Nazirus. The Nazir Toher Shenitma, as opposed to a Toher Nazir who then became Tomei, Ein Shvi Shaloi Oil Aluminium, the seventh day of his Tara would not count as the first day of his Nazirus, because he still has Korbanos to bring, and the Korbanos he brings only on the eighth day, as we're going to learn later on in the Masechta. So therefore, now we're actually going to have tomorrow on Daf Yud Ches, we're actually going to have a Machlokes Tanoim on that between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosi Bibi Hoda, whether in fact, even in the case of a Nozer Tahor Shenitma, whether in fact maybe he can start his Nezirus again on the seventh day. According to Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda, he could. He doesn't even need to wait for bringing his Korbanos, as we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. But according to Rebbe, and this is the Halacha, and this is what the Braisa is like, he has to, a Nazir who was Tohar and then became Tomei and is bringing Korbanos Tomei has to wait until the day he brings the Korbanos to restart his Nezirus, and that is the eighth day. So that's the difference between them, says the Braisa. Now, Rabbi Yochanan asks Rish Lakish, v'isakadaydach loichayla, if you tell me that the Nezirus of a person who was Tomei at the time of the Nezirus is not yet chal until he becomes Tahar and until he redeclares, I'm going to actually observe that Nezirus that I previously said, in that case, am I a Lemon? Well, then why would the seventh day count? According to why would the seventh day count? After all, on the seventh day, he hasn't necessarily reaccepted his Nezirus. So the Braisa should be saying that. Only if he reaccepted the Nezirus. And Tosfos and the Rosh and other Mephoshim point out that if that was the case, if that was the distinction, then the Braisa should have said so. If the Braisa is saying the differences between a Nazir Tohar Shenitma and a Nazir Tomei the difference is what day he can restart. If you're going to tell me, like Rish Lakish, that another difference is that one he has to redeclare and the other one he doesn't, then it should have said so. So that's a question on Rish Lakish then. So why according to him is the Braisa not mentioning that distinction? For that matter, Tosfos says the Gemara could have also pointed out that according to Rish Lakish, the Nazir Tomei, the one who was Tomei to begin with, that if he drinks, etc., doesn't get Malkus, and the one who was Tahor and became Tomei does. And there are other differences like that. So fine, the Gemara is going to discuss later a concept that we're not necessarily dealing with things that the Nazir does wrong. We're only dealing with the normal procedure of the Nazir. But at least it should have mentioned the point that he needs to redeclare his Nazirus, according to Rish Lakish. So the Gemara says, you know what, you're right. Because of that question, Ma Bravashi says, we have to reinterpret what the Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish was. Everybody agrees when it comes to the Nezirus being chal, that it is chal. Even though he was Tomei at the time, both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish agree that the Nezirus is chal right away, which means not like we were saying all this time that Rish Lakish would say he does not get Malkus during that time and then he needs to redeclare the Nezirus. Oh no, the Machlokas is going to be, we're going to say as far as Toma, Ma'ar Rav Ashi is saying there's no question he's getting Malkus if he drinks wine or if he shaves, because those have nothing to do with Tumah. And also that he doesn't need to redeclare his Nezirus. Ela ki pligi the milki. The Machlokas is strictly as far as whether he's getting Malkus for becoming Tumah. So the fact that he was in a cemetery when he made his Nezirus, does he now, if they warn him, get out of there because now you're a Nazir and you're not allowed to be in there. If he doesn't, if he stays in there, is he Chayav Malkus? That would be the Machlokas. So now, Rabbi Yochanan Sava Kibin the Chayav Loki, Rabbi Yochanan holds that since the Nezirus is Chal, then he's getting Malkus. Rish Lakish Sava Loi Loki, V'chayla, Rish Lakish says he doesn't get Malkus, even though it is true that the Nezirus is in effect as far as the other things. It does not take effect. So he is also to become Tomei, but he's not getting Malkus. He's not getting Malkus for it. There is actually some discussion among Rishonim. Tosfos over here and the Ran and the Dorim, we have the Gemara in the Dorim as well, say that the person is certainly getting they would both agree that he gets Malkus for drinking wine or cutting his hair, according to my Bravashi's understanding of the Machlokas now. But the Machlokas is only when the Machlokas is only as far as so the Machlokas is only as far as Nezirus, as far as Malkus for Tumah. So, the Ran actually in the so Tosfos over here says that they both, Tosfos over here says, like we just said, they both agree that he gets Malkus for wine and cutting his hair because there's no reason. I mean, he may be Tomei, but nevertheless, the Nazirus certainly took effect regarding those things. The question as far as Malkus for becoming Tomei. And then Tosfos discusses, in that case, isn't it a Lav Shein by Maisa, which you usually don't get Malkus for? So there are a few possibilities. One is that they may be talking, first of all, one possibility is they may be talking according to the opinion that a person does get Malkus for such a thing. Or they may mean that it's only an Isser Malkus, that's not something that you actually get Malkus for in practice, but it is an Isser that's strong enough that it would have gotten, Malkus. You have a good deal of discussion about that, about whether this is in fact considered a lav she'en by maisa. One point is the Mishnah Melech says on Rambam, the Shagas Aryeh says that when it was all triggered by an action of yours previously, even though right now there's no action, it can still be called maybe a lav sheyesh by maisa. So here it was triggered to begin with by he went into the cemetery, even though afterwards the fact that he's also to be there is a result only of something that he didn't do actively. He said I'm a nazir, but he didn't do anything else actively. He just remained in there. Nevertheless, that might be reason enough to consider him that he should be Chayav Malkus. Anyway, the Ran in the Dorim explains somewhat differently. He says that no, everybody agrees that he can't get Malkus for becoming Tomei because the Lav Shein Meimaisa. The question is he getting Malkus for drinking wine or cutting his hair? When we say over here in the Gemara that he's getting Malkus, the Ran would learn that it means that Rish Lakish is saying he's getting Malkus for drinking wine or cutting his hair. And Rish Lakish would say, yes, the Nazirus is Chal, but he's not getting Malkus for those things yet because the fact is he was Tomei at the time. In effect, what it is it's not really a full Nazirus. He can't be a full Nazir while he's in a cemetery, and therefore Rish Lakish says that it doesn't fully take effect. Now it comes out, by the way, Tosfos points out that now that we're understanding this machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish differently than we were, then it follows that the questions that we had before that Rabbi Yochanan asked on Rish Lakish, he wouldn't have needed to ask them actually. Actually, the Rosh says this rather. The questions Rabbi Yochanan asked on Rish Lakish from our Mishnah and from a couple of Braises wouldn't fit then, because now that we understand the machlokas differently, then it would mean that there was nothing to ask. So the Rosh explains that sometimes we find in a Gemara when it says that Pliny that one Amora asked another one, doesn't mean that he actually asked him. It means he could have asked him this. In other words, the Gemara is sort of putting words in Rabbi Yochanan's mouth and saying, according to our original understanding, the Machloikas, then Rabbi Yochanan could have asked Rish Lakish from our Mishnah or from such and such a Braisa, and Rish Lakish could have answered so and so, but not that these words ever actually passed between them. That's one way of understanding it. There are Rishonim who say that actually what it would be is they had the Kabbalah, they had the Kabbalah that there was a machloikas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. They also had the Kabbalah that Rabbi Yochanan had brought up these various Mishnayas and Braises to Rish Lakish, but they didn't understand what exactly the nature of the machloikas was. Now that we've clarified, now that Ma'ab Rav Ashi generations later is clarifying what the machloikas are, now we understand that when Rabbi Yochanan is asking on Rish Lakish, he's asking him strictly on this that you, Rish Lakish, are saying he's not getting Malkus according to the Ran for anything, and according to Tosfos for becoming Tomei. Well, how does that fit with the Braises and the Mishnayos that we learned so far? So according to that, Rabbi Yochanan did bring up these challenges to Rish Lakish, but the difference is we thought he brought it according to our original understanding of Rish Lakish, and now we're saying that no, in fact, it turns out that he only brought it against him according to our revised understanding of Rish Lakish. So now, Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. So now, again, let's go through these Mishnayos and Braises. in Rabbi Yechanan asks Rish Lakish from our Mishnah, Misha Nazir Vuhu Beves HaKvaris, a person became a Nazir while he was in a cemetery, Afilo Hayasham Shloshim Yoim, even if it was there the entire 30 days that he should be a Nazir, Ein Olam Leim Aminyan, those days don't count towards his Nazirus, Ve'ein Amevi Korban Tumah, and he doesn't bring a Korban Tumah, implying Korban Tumah Hu Delei Maisi, so he's not bringing a Korban Tumah, Hom Milki Loki Alei, but he is getting Malkus, according to So he is getting Malkus for something, according to Tosfos, Rabbi Yochanan is asking, fine, you Rish Lakish agree that he's getting Malkus for drinking wine or drinking wine or cutting his hair. So why, but why shouldn't he also get Malkus for becoming Tomei? And the Mishnah, in fact, implies that he does, just that he doesn't bring a carbon trauma. And according to the Ran, the question would be that you, Rish Lakish, are saying he's not getting Malkus for anything, so even for drinking wine or cutting his hair, so why not? So the answer is, the Gemara says, Bidinu delisni, and so here the Gemara has to give a different answer than it did before. Before, when we thought the first version of Rish Lakish is, the first understanding of Rish Lakish was that he's not even a Nazir yet until he re-declares it outside the cemetery. So then we answered that we're talking about, in fact, where, in fact, what the Mishnah means is the whole concept of a Korban Tumah is not Shayach to him because he's not yet a Nazir. Now, with the revised understanding of Rish Lakish, we can't say that. Now we have to have a different answer. So the answer would be, Bidinu Delisni Ein Eloika. It's true, the Mishnah could have said that he doesn't get Malkus at all. Maybe Korban Tumah, since in the Sefer it contrasts it where when he went out of the cemetery and became Tahar and then went back in, where there it does count towards his count of the days of Nazirus, and he does bring a Korban Tumah, Toni Reisha, and he may be Korban Tumah. So for parallelism, it just mentions in the Reisha that he doesn't bring a Korban Tumah, but in fact, you could say that in the Reisha he doesn't get Malkus either, for becoming Tomei or for any of the restrictions of the Nazirus, depending how you learn, according to Tosfos or according to the Ran. So no proof against Rish Lakish from that. The fact that it doesn't mention that in the Mishnah, it may have not mentioned because the Mishnah wants to keep the two parts parallel. Okay, Toshma, Rabbi Yochanan says to Rish Lakish, here's another proof against you. The Braisa that we said before, Ein Bein Tomei Shenazar L'Nazir Tahar Shenitma. There's no difference between a Tomei person who became a Nazir versus a Nazir who was Tahar and then became Tomei. Ela Shatomei Shenazar Shvi Shalai Oy Lalei Min Aminyan. The difference was that a Tomei who became a Nazir, the day that he finishes his Tara, he can start his Nazirus, because like we said, he doesn't need to bring a Korban. All he needs after he was sprinkled the second time with Parah Adumah water and after he tovels. The only other thing he needs is head of Shemesh, and that doesn't prevent him from becoming a Nazir. But a Nazir who was Tahar and became Tomei, the seventh day doesn't count as it doesn't become the first day of his new Nazirus, because again he has to bring his Korbanus and that takes place only the next day. Again, this Braisa is like Rebbe, we're going to learn tomorrow that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Implying, says Rabbi Yechanan, Holom Malkus Zebezeh Shavin. But the implication is, as far as Malkus, they seem to be the same thing. After all, if the Braisa is saying there's no difference between them except such and such, well, that seems to imply that everything else they're the same, including the fact that they're both getting Malkus for everything, or fine, you agree that he anyway gets Malkus for wine and haircutting, and you're arguing about Malkus for Tumah, but it seems the Braisa seems to imply that he gets Malkus for that as well. So what are you going to do with that, Rish Lakish? Amalei, so Rish Lakish answers him, loy. No, that's not what the Braisa means. L'tiglachas zevezeh shavin. What the Braisa means is that as far as shaving, they're the same. They both do have the same rules as far as shaving, and now, what does that mean? So Tosfos, who said before that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, according to this new understanding, according to Ma'ar Rav Ashi's understanding, were saying Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish would both agree that he's getting Malkus that he's getting malchus for shaving or for drinking wine, and they're only arguing about malchus for tuma, then we would say, so Tosfos says, one possibility is that now the Rish Lakish is going to understand the Braisa to be telling us exactly that. If he shaves, he gets malchus. But Tosfos says, in that case, why is it only mentioned, why would Rish Lakish then only mention shaving? Then he should mention wine as well. So rather, Tosfos answers, that what it means is, as far as tiglachas, as far as the mitzvah of that he has to shave his hair at the end of his truma, that would apply equally to both of them. Now, later on, the Gemara, in fact, is going to ask this question. What happens in our case of this of our Nazir Tameh? he became a Nazir while he's Tameh. Now we're saying he becomes Tameh. Does he have to, we said in the Mishnah that he doesn't bring karbonus, but does he have to shave or not before he starts his nazirus? The Gemara is going to discuss that point later on. We're going to see what the Gemara is going to discuss that on the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Beis, on the top of Yud Ches Amud Aleph. It's going to end up saying that, in fact, he doesn't need to. However, over here, Rish Lakish is understanding that maybe that's what the Braisa implies, is that he does need to. So Tosfos says, okay, later on, the Gemara is going to establish that he doesn't, but in any case, in a minute, we're going to slog up Rish Lakish anyway, so therefore the Gemara doesn't bother giving that answer. But you could still say that the Braisa means that he does need to shave at the end of the 7 days. But another possibility, again, that Tosfos says, where Tosfos doesn't like this explanation, is And then the Rosh also brings the second explanation, that it means that he would in fact get malchus for shaving and for drinking wine, because again, according to that understanding, Rish Lakish would agree now that he does get malchus for both of those things, even though he was Tomei when he became a Nazir. Again, according to the Ran's explanation in Nedarim, that Rish Lakish is saying that he's not getting malchus for any of the Suri Nazir at all, then necessarily you would have to go like Tosfos's explanation. Actos is a preferred explanation, that it means as far as the mitzvah of him shaving at the end of the 7 days. What the Braisa is saying, there's no difference between a Nazir Tomei, between a Tomei Shin Nazir and a Nazir Tohu became Tomei. It's not necessarily saying that there's no other difference between them. It means as far as Tiglachas, there's no difference between them. So the Gemara asks, Avala Inin Malchus Mai, but what? So what then? You're going to tell me as far as Malchus, as far as getting Malchus for Tumah. My zel loika bezel any loika. You're going to tell me that one who was Tahor and then became Tomei does get Malchus for becoming Tomei, but one who was Tomei to begin with is not getting Malchus at all. Well, then listen, why doesn't the Braisa mention it? And the answer is betakante komairi because kule loy komairi. You could answer that the Braisa maybe is only talking about things that to fix him up. In other words, the Braisa is only talking about things that the Nazir should be doing, what he should do after he became Tomei. Where there you have the difference. When does he start counting his new Nazirus? On the seventh day or on the eighth day? And then maybe you could say that also. And there's the difference of whether he has a mitzvah to shave or not. You could say, the Braisa is not necessarily addressing things that he does wrong, such as what happens if he does wrong and drinks wine or what have you, whether he gets malchus for that. The Braisa is not necessarily addressing that kind of thing. Rish Lakish would agree, after all, he's also to become Tomei. It's only a difference of whether he gets malchus or not, but in fact, we could say, yes, there is that distinction, but the Braisa is not addressing that kind of distinction. It's only addressing the distinctions of what he should be doing, not what he shouldn't be doing. A different explanation that somebody's showing him have is, but that kante komairi means that the Braisa is addressing, when is he going to be back to normal? When is his Nazirus going to be over? Once we know when his Nazirus begins, whether it begins the seventh or the eighth day, then we know when it's going to be over. Because kule lo komairi, what happens if he gets messed up? If he drinks wine or if he becomes Tomei, and then what happens as far as him getting Malchus, maybe the Braisa is not addressing that. Okay, so no proof against Rish Lakish from that. So then Rabbi Yochanan says, Toshma, let's bring another proof from a Braisa that we said before, Mishahaya Tomei v'Nazar, a person was Tomei and he became a Nazir. Also a Galeach v'lishtes Yayin, he's also to shave or to drink wine. V'im of v'im Gilach, if he did go and shave, v'shasa Yayin, or if he did drink wine, v'nitma l'mesim, or if he became Tomei Mes, hareza soifigas ha'aboyim, then he gets Malkus. So now, in the first version of Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish deflected that because we said we were talking about where he reaccepted the Naziris. But now, in Ma'ab Rav Ashi's understanding of Rish Lakish, you don't have that. Rish Lakish doesn't require him to reaccept the Naziris. Automatically, the Naziris takes effect. The only question is he getting Malkus for some or all of the Isuri Nazir? And here the Braise is saying that even though he was Tomei when he became a Nazir, nevertheless, he's actually getting Malkus for doing any of these things. So we can't answer. Tosfos points out that we can't answer like we did before, that we're talking about where he became Tohar in between. Now, fine, we would say he doesn't have to reaccept the Naziris, but still, we could use the answer that before he became Tohar. But we said before that according to Ma'ab Rav Ashi, Rish Lakish agrees that all the restrictions of a Nazir are on him. The only question is which ones he's getting Malkus for. So even Yotzev and Nichnas is not going to help us. The fact is, Rish Lakish agrees that he is a Nazir at this point. And the Braise is saying that not only is he a Nazir, but he's getting Malkus for being over on any of these things. So the Gemara says, Tiuvta, you're right, this is an upschlag. So that's it. We've schlogged up Rish Lakish, and we're left with Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that, in fact, even though he was Tomei at the time he took on his Naziros, nevertheless, all the restrictions of the Nazir are on him. So not only is he getting Malkus for drinking wine or cutting his hair during this time of Tumah, but even for Tumas Mes, for example, as the Gemara is now going to discuss, if he's in a Beis HaKvodes at the time and they warn him, get out of there, you're now a Nazir, you're not allowed to be in there, then he could be Chayav Malkus for that. And certainly if he would have become Tumas Mes again, then he would be Chayav Malkus. Okay. So now that we've dealt with that, now the Gemara is going to ask a related point. Now, when it comes to, now we know that we know there's a din, we're going to learn about it in the Masechta Shavuos a couple of years from now, Be'ez Hashem, that if a person goes into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Azara, when he's Tomei, with any kind of Tumah, then he's Chayev Kodesh. Now, what happens, you could also have a case where a person becomes Tomei in the Beis HaMikdash, where any kind of Tumah, it could be Sheretz, could be that he becomes a Balkeri, could be that he touches a dead body, whatever the case, any kind of Tumah. The din is that he has to get out of there as fast as possible. He has to find the shortest route to get out of the Azara from where he is and take that route and not delay. If he delays more than a certain amount of time, then he's Chayiv Kodesh. And the Gemara in Shavuos discusses how the Gemara in Shavuos discusses that time is Kedei Hishtachava, it's the amount of time that it would take for a person to bow on the ground, which the Gemara discusses over there, how long that would be. The Gemara quotes in this connection a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that tells how the Jewish people bowed on the floor when the fire came down from Shemayim on the Mizbeach in the times of Shlomo HaMelech. So you have a pasuk over there that describes how everybody bowed down the floor and praised Hashem and thanked Hashem for showing that his Shechinah is in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara discusses over there is the Kedei Shtachava, the time it would take to say that entire pasuk, or the time that it would say to say the second half of the pasuk where it says that they bowed. In any case, that's the din. So then again, the din is that if the person in that situation where he became Tomei in the Azara, if he gets out of there as fast as possible, he's not Chayev Kodesh. But if he delays that amount of Shir Shtachava, then he's Chayev Kodesh. So now the Gemara is going to ask whether that same distinction applies here by a Nazir. So Boi Rava. So Rava asks the question, Nazir v'hu b'veis HaKvaris, if he became a Nazir when he was in the cemetery, like we've been discussing all this time, Mahu, what would be the din? Boi Shehiya Lamalkus Oloi. Does he need to wait in there the amount of time of Shir Shehiya, the same amount that it would take to bow, the time it takes to say that whole pasuk or that half a pasuk, and only then is he Chayav Malkus or Oloi or not? So in other words, he became a Nazir in the cemetery. People are warning him, you're a Nazir now, get out of there. Does he become Chayav Malkus right away, or does he become Chayav Malkus only if he stays in there those few extra seconds?
So the Gemara asks, "Hey, Chidom, what's the scenario that the Rava is asking about?" If the case is that people to begin with warned him, they said, "Don't become a nazir. You're in a beis hakvaris. You have no business becoming a nazir under those circumstances." And he does, and he becomes a nazir anyway. Lomali shahia. So why would there need to be any waiting? Of course, he'd be chayav malchus right away, because you have to think nazir my time alei boy shahia. In general, when a nazir becomes tameh, if a nazir tahar, if they warn him, don't become tameh, and he becomes tameh, there's no shahia needed. Because after all, they're warning him, and so the moment he becomes tameh, then he's chayav malchus. So hochanami kamasribe. The fact is, over here, they're also giving him a warning. So if we're talking about that they warned him, don't become a nazir under these circumstances, then why would he need shahia? Why wouldn't he become chayav malchus right away? Now, Tosfos brings up the point, isn't it a lav she'en by maisa? So Tosfos just says briefly that the fact that he doesn't go out of there is called a lav she'en by maisa. Now, there's discussion about what that means. You have a Mishnah Lamelech in Rambam that explains that what it is, like we said before, since the Shagas Arya has a similar explanation, since the original going in was an action, then therefore that can be, even though now he's not doing an action, he's just taking on the zeros and staying in there, nevertheless, that could still be considered a maisa, and therefore he would get malchus for it. There's different other explanations. The Urach Misher printed in the back of the Gemara explains that a lav she'en by maisa means something that you you're not actually doing something with your goof. You're doing it. You have, for example, the issur comes automatically. For example, by a certain amount of time passing or a person saying certain words. Here, the nazir's body is in the cemetery, and that's enough for it to be considered a lav she'esh by maisa. And then different in the Birkas Rosh and other Achronim disagree with that. Again, you have the Mishnah Lamelach and the Shagas Aliyah that take the view that since to begin with it was triggered by a Maisa that he did go into the cemetery and that he declared Naziros, then therefore that's enough for him to be able to become a Nazir. That's enough for him to be Chayav Malchus, even though right now there's no Maisa. So there's a lot of discussion about all of that, about how exactly he could be getting malchus, even though on the face of it, it's a lav she'en by maisa. Anyway, the point is, but why would Rava is asking why he would need shahia? Why should he? Why would there be any thought that in this case he needs shahia when the moment he becomes a nazir, automatically, and he's tameh, and he's now a nazir, who became tameh, which he's not allowed to, and we've established that according to Rabbi Yochanan, he's already also in tumah and is getting malchus for it. So why would we think otherwise? Why would we think that you need shahia? Ella, no, we have to say that Rava's question is, suppose to begin with he went into the cemetery as a nazir already. Oh, no, not as a nazir yet. He went inside the cemetery, not yet a nazir. He went inside there in a box, chita tevo migdol, or various kinds of large wooden boxes, which the din is that a box that size is not mekabel tumah if it's able to hold at least 40 saw of liquids or 60 saw of dry measure. Then the din is that we learn in other places in Shas that such a keli is not mekabel tumah. So now he went in there inside a closed box. So now he's not becoming a tamei. Now, actually, that's not so simple. We're going to have later on in the Masechta, we're going to have a machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Yehuda about oihel zoruk, about a moving oihel, whether it blocks tumah or not. The halacha is like Rebbe, that it does not, which has implications nowadays as far as kohenim driving in cars or flying in planes or whatever over cemeteries. Do we consider, even if we consider the plane or the car to be an oil, it's an oil zaruk. But here, one possibility is here we're going according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who said that it would block the tumah. So therefore, as long as he's in the box and as long as the box is closed, he's not becoming tumah. Then while he was in the box, he declared Nazirus. So now he's a Nazir inside a cemetery, but the box is preventing him, the closed box is preventing him from becoming tumah. Now, a friend came along and broke open the plaster that closes up the box. Now, me'olav literally means from above him. However, if it's from above him, then the truma wouldn't really come to him because the bottom of the box would still block the truma. So we have to say, and that's how the mefoshim over here understand that it means that the friend took off the floor of the that he took off the floor of the box from underneath him. So now the tumah is able to come to him. So now he becomes tumah because he's directly over a kaver. So now he's in this box where the bottom has been broken open and the tumah is able to come to him. So now they're warning him, get out of there as soon as possible. And now he doesn't go out. Now the question is, Rava asks, Ki gmirin shehiya b'veis ha-mikdash, is it that we have halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, that the concept that only if a person waits there that specified amount of time is ichayev, is only in the Bais HaMikdash, that only there do you have that time that it takes for ishtachava, and if he stays there less than that amount of time, he's not chayev kodesh. Aval abroi, but outside the Bais HaMikdash, in other cases, loy, maybe we don't have that halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, or yom aloy shna. Or maybe there's no difference. Either way, he'd only be chayev only if he stayed there kadei ishtachava. And the Gemara finishes off, teku, we leave it unresolved because we don't have the answer. So actually the Rosh stresses, you have to realize the cases over here that it was an oinus. The friend, actually Tosfos points this out also. Tosfos and the Rosh point out it has to be that it was ba'oinus. If it was berotzen, if the friend said, should I break open the box, and the one inside the box said yes, then yeah, he wouldn't require shehiya, because the fact is then he became tameh with his consent. But here we're talking about where the friend opened it up without him wanting to. So now it's an oinus. So now the only question is he chayav? The fact is, though, they warned him, get out of there. Now, is he chayav malchus, even if he is a, so now is he chayav malchus, even if he stays there an extra second, or only if he stays there a few extra seconds, kedei shehiya, like we said. So one point is, by the way, relating to that machloikas of Oihol Zoruk, there are different achronim that discuss possibilities. Now, on the one hand, the Rambam Pastin that Oihol Zoruk is not an oil, and therefore, for example, a person goes into a cemetery inside a box, he's still going to become Tomei. On the other hand, he was saying, and later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about it as far as Eretz Ha'amim, as far as the Gzeira D'Rabbanan, that when you go into lands outside Eretz Yisrael, you become Tomei. He, on the other hand, was saying that we're talking about where the box would block the Tumah from coming to him, and only because the box is broken open is there a problem. So again, one possibility is we're going according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, but the fact is the Rambam paskins over here, this din that we just said over here, and he also paskins that an oil zoruk, that a moving oil is not a valid oil. So the Mefoshim and the Rambam have a few different ways of reconciling them. One is we can be talking Daraisa versus Dirabonon. Maybe Daraisa, such a box, does block Tumah, but Midrabonon it wouldn't. So that would have implications, again, as far as Koyanim flying in planes over cemeteries. Maybe when there's other reasons to be Makel, other Sfekas or whatever, then we could be Makel in it if it's only an Issu Dirabonon. Another way of understanding the difference, though, is there's a difference whether the box is sitting in one place, in other words, it was carried in there and put on the ground and left there, versus where it's being moved through the air, which would be the case later on in the Masechta. So here we're talking about the Nazir, that the person was in the box, which was put on the ground in the cemetery, and then while inside the box, he became a Nazir, and now somebody went and broke open the bottom of the box, and then now he became Tomei. So now we could say it's not called Oihol Zoruk, because the fact is it is sitting in one place, and it did in fact block the Tumah all this time, whereas the discussion later on in the Masechta would be about where the box is actually being carried at the time. So according to that, then, it would come out that a plane that's flying would in fact not be considered an Oihol at all. Okay. And Gemara continues. Boi Rav Ashi. Now Rav Ashi has another question so now we're going to start discussing this point that we touched on before. The Nazir Tomei was saying that he was Tomei when he declared as Nazirus. Therefore, we said he's not bringing Korbanos Tumah, but does he have to shave before he starts his Nazirus Tahara? So Boi Rav Ashi, Nozer v'hu beveis hakboros, if he made nezirus while he's in the cemetery, ton diluach oloi, does he need to shave before he starts his nezirus tara or not? The question is ki boy tiglachas tohor shenitma. Would you say that the reason why a nozer tohor who becomes tamei needs to be shaved become a tamei the nezirus? So you could say the reason is because his nezirus became tamei. He was a nozer. His hair was kaddish, and now as the pasuk says, "Vitimei roish nizrei," the hair that was his crown of nezirus became tamei. Therefore, he needs to shave it and store it all over. Abel tamei shen nozer loy, but maybe not a nozer. Maybe not if he was tamei and became a nozer. Maybe he doesn't need to shave. Because the same way as he doesn't bring a korban truma, maybe he doesn't need to shave either. Oidilma, loy shno, maybe there's no difference. Maybe either way, he still needs to shave. And the question is just that in the one case, he brings the korbanos, and in the other case, he does not. So that's Rav Ashi's question. So Toshma, Misha Nozer Vobavesakvaris. So let's try to prove from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah had said a person made a Nezirus when he was in a cemetery, even if it was there 34 days, it doesn't count for him towards the Nezirus. The Ena may be Korban Tuma, and he doesn't bring a Korban Tuma. So implying Korban Tuma, the implication seems to be that he doesn't bring a Korban Tuma, but he does have to shave. Because otherwise the Tana should have mentioned that point, which after all, the Rosh says is a bigger Chiddush. To say that he doesn't bring the korbanos, fine, you know, okay, he was never tahor in the first place. But if he doesn't, the fact that he doesn't have to shave would be a bigger chiddush. So the Mishnah should have said that. The answer is the Gemara says that's not proof. Matam, comma, because you can say the Mishnah is giving us a reason. Matam, ain't it maybe korban tuma? You know why he doesn't bring a korban tuma? Mishum, like boy galuchi, because he doesn't have to shave. In other words, once the Mishnah says he doesn't bring a korban, then we understand these two things are interdependent. And therefore, if he's not doing one, then he's not doing the other. So you could say that the Mishnah in fact means that Itaki doesn't have to shave. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring a proof from the Braisa that we brought before in Rabbi Yochanan and Rosh Lakish's Machlokas. We said there's no difference between a person who was Tomei and became a Nozir while he was Tomei versus a Nozir who was Tahor and later on became Tomei. Elosh and Tomei and Nozir. The difference is that a Tomei who became a Nazir the seventh day counts towards his count of Nazirus. The Nazir Tahor Shenitma in Shvi Shala Oila Lemin Aminyan, whereas a Nazir Tahor who becomes Tomei the seventh day doesn't count because, as we said before, he has to bring his Korbanos and that takes place on the eighth day. My lab, so shouldn't we understand the braisa to be meaning hold it to glachas zebazeshobin? That it means as far as having to shave, both of them are the same. Both of them have to shave before they can begin their nezirus tara. Otherwise, again, the braisa should have mentioned that distinction. And the Gemara answers, loy, that's not what the braisa means, that there's no other distinction. Ha lamalkus zebazeshobin. It means that as far as Malkus, now that we established before that we go according to Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, because we said we shlugged up Rishlokish. So now what it means is that if he's over on any of these Surim of the Nezirus, then he gets Malkus and Zebazesh Shavin. Both of them are equal as far as that. Now that's according to the Braisa, is according to Rabbi Yochanan. Before Rishlokish would have tried to explain it, would have tried to explain it his way. We shlugged him up anyway. So therefore, now we're left with Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of the Braisa. But the Braisa is not necessarily mentioning anything about Tiglachas. So Gemara says, Abel Tiglachas Mai. So what are you going to tell me? As far as shaving, it is what? You're going to say Zem Galeach Bzeh Enim Galeach. You're going to say that the one who was Tahor and then became Tomei shaves, and the other one who was never Tahor in the first place does not shave. Listen, then the Braisa should mention that point. After all, it's saying there is the difference. Here's the difference between one and the other. If that's a difference, then it should mention it. The answer is Tana Shvi Shalai Kol Mili. Because the Braisa already says the seventh day, and that means Kol Mili, Tonashvi Shalai, Kol Mili, it's mentioning the seventh day and everything else that's included in that. meaning, in other words, that we know why is it that a Nazir who was Tahir can't begin his Nazirus again on the seventh day, because he has to wait till the next day. And what does he do the next day? He's shaving and bringing his Karbanis. So automatically, in other words, again, if we're saying that the shaving and the bringing Karbanis go together, then automatically, if we're saying that the other one, the one who was Tameh, and now becomes Tahir, and the one who was Tameh when he made his Nazirus, and now becomes Tahir, if we're saying that he doesn't have to wait till the eighth day, why not? Because he didn't have to bring the Karbanis. And with the Karbanis goes the shaving, so therefore the Braisa didn't need to mention that separately. Okay. So far we don't have a proof. So now the Gemara is going to try to bring a proof from a case of a Nazir who becomes a Metzorah. Now, we touched on the other day that when a person becomes a Metzorda, we said there's many stages that a Metzorda goes through. You have a stage where he's quarantined for a week or two to see whether he has his definitely tzaras, whether it grows two white hairs or whether it spreads, etc. Then you have, if yes, then there's a while where he's cholut, he's a confirmed Metzorda, and he has to stay outside the city and tear his clothing and so on and so forth. And then ultimately, when the tzaras is healed, then you have the part where they do the whole thing with the two birds and the water and everything from the beginning of Parshas Metzora, and then he shaves and he has to wait a week, and then he shaves again and brings his korbanos. So later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about in detail that the days when he's cholut, the days when he's a confirmed Metzora outside the city, and the days of the Sfira, the days of the 7-day counting, those don't count towards his Nazirus. His Nazirus, in other words, is suspended during that time. He's still considered a Nazir. He's still chayev in all the dinim of Nazir, but they don't count toward the length of his Nazirus. Meaning, well, so let's say you had a person who was a Nazir for, regular Nazir, let's say of 30 days, and on the 10th day he becomes a Metzorah, then eventually, once he's finished with his tzaras and with everything else, then he'll resume and count another 20 days of his Nazirus. Well, actually, in that case, only 30 days, because he needs time to grow his hair. Anyway, so Braisa says, "Ainly ela yemei tumasa." Now, first, the first part of the Braisa talks about that the first part of the Braisa talks about the concept that when a Nazir becomes Tomei Mess, then that doesn't count for his Nazirus, because then he has to start his Nazirus all over again. So the Braisa says, "Ainly ela yemei tumasa." We would only know so far that applies when it becomes Tomei Mess. She'ain olam lemin aminyan, that those don't count towards his Nazirus, because then he has to lose all the days that he did so far. And the point is, in other words, that we're saying he has to start over his Nazirus. So certainly the days that he kept, certainly the days that he was Tomei, don't count towards his actual Nazirus. In fact, that's implied right there in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that the Kohen brings his Karbanis for him, for Kapara, and the Kidash Esroyshe Bayemahu, he makes his hair holy on that day and starts his Nazirus over, implying that as long as his hair is Tomei, as long as he is Tomei, then he can't start his, then those don't count for his Nazirus. So the Brais continues, Yemei Chalutai Minayin, how do we know that the same thing applies to the days when he's a confirmed Metzorah? Outside, and that has to be outside the city. So the Braisa says, so the Braisa is a Bidinu. You would think that you could learn it with a Binyan Av. After all, there's a similarity. When he becomes Tomei Mess, he has to shave and he has to bring a korban. The fact is, after he's a cholut, after he was a confirmed mitzvah, you also have a procedure that involves shaving and brings a korban. So you would say, just like the days when he's tomei mess don't count towards the days of his nazirus, after mei chalute in olam lemin aminyan, by that binyanav, you would say the same thing would apply to the days of his chalute, the days of his confirmed, of his being a confirmed mitzvah. So you could learn it that way. But the Braisa continues, that's not a solid proof. Lo imamauti b'mei tumasai. No, because you could say the difference is when he becomes Tomei Mess, shekein mevatel b'anas akoidin. You have a bigger chumrah over there. You have that not only do those days not count towards his Nazirus, but he actually loses all the days before that. As we said before, you have a regular Nazir, he made a Nazirus of 30 days. He becomes Tomei, let's say on the 10th day, when he becomes Tahor and brings his Karbanos, he has to start all the way over from the beginning. He loses those 10 days. So how do you compare that to Yimei Chaluta? The fact is he doesn't lose the days before. If he became a Metzora on the 10th day, then he does have to wait till he's Tahor before he can resume his Nezirus. But when he does, he just resumes it from where he left off. He resumes from the 11th day. He doesn't have to do the 10 days over. Okay, and then where it was a 30-day Nezirus, practically speaking, he needs an extra 10 days to grow hair, but we're not getting into that right now. Let's say his original Nezirus was 100 days and he became Tahor 40 days or whatever, and he became Tahor on the 10th day. He doesn't need it after his Saras is over, after he becomes Tahor, he only needs 30 more days or 90 more days or whatever. With Yemei Tum Osa, he loses all the previous days. So therefore, by a simple Kavah Chomer, we would say if he even loses the days before, then certainly the days of his Tumah don't count toward the days of his Nezirus. How do you compare it to the days of his chaluta of tzaras? The fact is, those don't cancel the earlier days. He continues from where he left off. So maybe therefore those days should count towards his nezirus. And we should say, for example, let's say he was a mitzora cholut for 10 days. So we would say he became tomei on the 10th day. Now he had 10 days of that when he was a cholot of tzaras, so now we're up to 20 days, and now he only needs, if it was 100 days in the zero, so he only needs 80 days more. So the Braisa continues, Amarta, well, you have to say like this. You can't possibly say that. After all, Uman Nozer Bekever, after all, make a Kabachoyim, Madach a Nozer who became a Nozer in a Besa Kavaris while he was Tomei, Shes Orei Roy L'Teglachas, his hair could be shaved, and ein oilam lemin aminyan. Nevertheless, we're saying that the yemei tumah, the days that he's tameh, do not count towards the time of his nezirus. As we said before, we have to wait until he goes out of the cemetery and becomes tahor, and only then does his nezirus begin. Yemei chaluta shein roi l'teglachas. Well, then the days of his chaluta, where he cannot even shave, because during the time when he's first of all, the fact is he can't shave because the Torah tells us he has to grow his hair long. His hair has to be grown long. But more to the point is you can't do the mitzvah to glachas during nezirus, because you have to shave the hair for the nezirus. So man nozir bekevish asore roy l'teglachas, when he became a nozir in the cemetery, he could now accomplish the mitzvah of shaving with his hair when he goes out of there and becomes a nozir tahor. He can shave that hair, and yet in olam aminyan, yet the days in the cemetery don't count towards his count of nezirus. Yemei chaluta shein roy l'teglachas, the days of his chaluta where he can't shave his hair because he's supposed to be waiting to shave it after his tzaras is over. How much more so that those don't count towards his count of nezirus? So we see, in other words, that when he became a nozir in a cemetery, ultimately we're saying he does have to do tiglachas. It sounds like it means once he goes out of there and becomes tahor, he will have to shave in order to begin his nezirus. He just won't bring karbanos. So my love to glachas tuma. Shouldn't we assume that when the Braisa mentions that the nozir who became a nozir in a cemetery is going to need tiglachas, it sounds like it means tiglachas tuma, the kind that a nozir does when he's tummy. Like one answer is like, that's not what it means. It means tiglachas tara. On the contrary, it means the tiglachas tara that he does at the end of the nezirus. In other words, that they're just the opposite. The Braisa is saying these very same hairs that he had on his hair when he was in the cemetery and became a nozir, now he doesn't need to shave them when he becomes tahor. When does he need to shave them? Only when the whole nezirus is over. And yet, Braisa is saying those days still don't count towards his nezirus. So how much more so with the mitzvah where he has a mitzvah to shave them off because at the end of his saras? So we're not saying that he needs to shave at the end of his tumah. Just the opposite. We're saying he doesn't need to, and that same hair can still be on his head when he eventually comes to a tiglachas tara. And the Gemara says, Hochi nami mistaber. In fact, it seems more logical to understand the Braisa that way. Because if you were going to say that the Braisa is actually referring to Tiglachas Tuma, well, you may chalute mile bo Tiglachas. After all, during the time when he's a Mitzoda, also, again, you have part of the process of becoming Toher from Tsaras involves two haircuts. One right after they do the thing with the birds and the water and whatever, and another one 7 days later. So right now we're talking about, in other words, that a Mitzora also has the equivalent of a Glachas Tumah. He's still very much Tomei after the birds and the water and the haircut. It's a lesser degree of Tumah, but he still is Metamei a person by touching him, just like he was when he was a Mitzora. So therefore, so we can call that the equivalent of a Tiglachas Tumah for a Mitzora. And after all, he does require that. The Braisa is drawing a distinction between them, between the Nazir and the Mitzora. So what do you mean, Einu Roi L'Tiglachas? If you meant Tiglachas of Tuma, then a Mitzora's hair is perfectly available for Tiglachas Tuma, because that's what he's going to do. So therefore, obviously, the Braisa must be referring to Tiglachas Tara, and the difference is a Mitzora doesn't have that, a Nazir does. A Mitzora doesn't have that in the sense that even his second haircut after the week, he was also Tomei before that, unlike a Nazir Tahar, who was Tahar when he shaved his hair. So therefore, wouldn't that show alone, that lashon itself, would show that we must be talking about Tiglachas Tahar? So the Gemara says, Loi Tiglachas de Nezirus Katani. No, because the Braisa is not necessarily contrasting Tiglachas Tuma with Tiglachas Tahar. The Braisa, rather, is contrasting Tiglachas. The Braisa is only talking about Tiglachas of Nezirus. In other words, the Braisa is saying that a Nazir at the end of his Tuma, at the end of his Tumah, or at the end of his Tara, is going to be shaving for Nezirus, for the mitzvahs of Nezirus, as opposed to a Mitzora is not. And therefore you say that any shaving that he's going to be doing is in connection with the dinim of Tzaras, and therefore that those days that he was a Mitzora don't count towards his Nezirus. So not necessarily is the Braisa, it's true, the Braisa would flow more smoothly if you're understanding that it means that the Nazir who was Tomei at the beginning of Nezirus does not have to shave when he becomes Tahar, but you could also understand it as meaning that he does have to shave in that case, and the Braisa is just drawing a distinction between him who's shaving for purposes of Nezirus versus a Mitzora who's not, who's shaving for a different purpose.
What was the last point?
That Mitzora is shaving for a different purpose. He's shaving because the end of his Tzaras. So therefore, we can, as opposed to a Nazir, is shaving for the purposes of Nezirus. So maybe the Braisa is only making that distinction rather than this distinction between Tuma and Tara. So still no proof one way or the other about whether our case that we've been talking about all this time, where the Nazir was Tomei when he first became a Nazir, and now he becomes Tahar, does he need to shave before he starts his Nazirus properly? We still don't know the answer yet. We still don't have a proof one way or the other.
Why wouldn't you?
That's what we said before, because he doesn't have to bring his karbonis. Therefore, maybe he doesn't have to shave either. The two things maybe go together, or maybe not.
Maybe not.
So maybe not. So that's the Gemara. So now we'll continue tomorrow, Bess Hashem, and we'll continue working that out.
Okay, so fine.
Everyone.